You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. This is episode 313, and today, with Jason out this week, I'm going to be responding to a question that we received. This is actually a fairly common question that comes up every so often, and it's a question in relationship to whether it's biblical to pay a pastor or not. And I know we've addressed this question before, but because it's often asked, it's worth revisiting again. And the primary reason I think that the question comes up so often is really twofold. Is first of all, that there is always this association in scripture with false teachers, false prophets, in it for their own financial gain, right? The whole purpose of them as false teachers, as false prophets, is to actually profit off the church of Christ. And at the same time, that can be true of a mismotivation for somebody pursuing to be in spiritual leadership. I mean, think of 1 Peter 5, verse 1, you know, Peter says, "Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to God's will, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yielding over them those that are allotted to your charge, but proving to be an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown of glory." And so you have this instruction given to the elders as to how they are conduct themselves as leaders of the church, as those that are spiritually charged. And remember, the elders, as Paul points out in Acts chapter 20, that they are given a sacred trust to protect, to safeguard the flock of Christ, those that the Lord purchased with his own blood. And so you see one of the aspects there listed in 1 Peter is this idea that an elder is not in it for money. And so is it wrong or is it bad or is it ungodly for a pastor to take money? And I want to begin by saying, well, first of all, in a biblical sense, there's two separate realities. One is, you know, the man or woman who would engage in ministry, whether legit gospel or a false gospel, and more often than not, it's a false gospel, but are doing it solely and exclusively for gain. Like the only reason they are engaged in ministry, the only reason they would don the name pastor or elder is because they hope to make money at it. You see this a lot with the prosperity gospel folks, that whole crowd that spends so much time and effort trying to get money from you. And many of them have been very successful at this, making millions and millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars in some cases, even having private jets and all of these absurdities, showing and proving that they're really not interested in the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And of course, they preach a false gospel altogether, this gospel of, you know, finding ultimately approval with God by donating, by giving money, by turning in. Or, you know, maybe it's the I have the secret things of God and you have to pay money for them. I mean, you see this kind of thing all the time. Paul speaks to it in 2 Corinthians where he talks about these super apostles that have come in and they try and get you to learn the secret truths of God for money. And Paul's point in 2 Corinthians is the truth of God has been made freely available to everyone. It doesn't cost a thing. The gospel is clear. God's good design is clear. God's good purpose is clear. And what God is actively working to unfold in the life of the church is all free. I mean, the gospel itself, while it cost Jesus everything, is provided for us through the work of Jesus Christ by grace, right? Grace being unmerited favor. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. And yet it was given to us freely. So this is the attitude of the true gospel. So the first way of going at this is to say that no pastor, no elder should ever engage in gospel ministry for the purpose of money. That is a biblically true statement. Nobody should ever go into it for money. No one should ever go into it because they want to enrich themselves, because they want to make money, because they want success. I mean, think about the attitude of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1, where he says in verse 10, "But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know what I believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day." Such beautiful language from the Apostle Paul, but it really speaks to the heart, to the very attitude that he has, that his entire apostleship, his entire ministry is simply for the good purpose of God, for the growth of the church, for the advancement of the gospel, whether he makes a dime at it or not. In fact, it gives this urgency of burden, right? That Paul sees himself as one who has to preach the gospel. Like, he has literally no choice at all as a result of the amazing grace of God that drew him into relationship and redemption through the grace of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He is obligated then by the call of God to engage and to preach, and he literally can't do anything else. And even in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul's directly addressing this topic of pay and whether you should pay those who labor in ministry, he says in verse 15 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that he says, "But I've used none of these things, and I am not writing this so that it will be done so in my case. For it would be better for me to die than to have any man make my boast an empty one. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." Meaning, this is Paul recognizing, hey, I'm not in this for money. Literally, if nobody ever gave me a dime, I still have to preach the gospel. I still have to engage in the good news of God. I still have to work for the glory of God, for the good purpose of God. That is the very heart, that is the very attitude of the Apostle Paul. So, does that mean that Paul never got any benefit or blessing from a church? I don't think that's definitely true. I mean, even to the degree of having a place to stay or having food provided to you while you engaged in that church body or in that church community, that is a blessing and a benefit, but that was not what Paul was in it for. Paul was in it with the very clear understanding that he was called by the Lord and had been given the purpose of sharing this gospel, and he was eager to do that, even if he never made a dime doing it. And so I'd say, first of all, that's the hard attitude. That is the attitude to look for in a preacher of the Lord Jesus Christ, one who's been called by the Lord to engage in this way, in the ministry of the body. And it is a calling. It is a drawing. You know, Paul says in 1 Timothy 3, that an elder has the desire, that has an innate desire to do this kind of ministry. And certainly that is evident in the men that God has called and raised up to serve as pastors and elders in the life of the Church of Christ. And so it is this other thing. It is this other purpose that has nothing to do with financial gain, and even, you know, in a lot of cases means potentially losing money as you work less, you know, or as you engage in jobs that would distract or take away from the ability of serving the Church of Christ and presenting the gospel and engaging for the glory of God to make disciples. And that's a whole different thing than somebody who says, oh, you know what? The church is a great chump. This would be a great opportunity to enrich myself. Now, that said, there are people that have made a lot of money in the ministry of Christ through, like, say, books, for example. I think the most recent example of that is somebody like John MacArthur, you know, somebody who published many, many, many books and no doubt, you know, made a pretty phenomenal or remarkable amount of money. I don't really know how much money was made, but I can tell you that I'm sure John MacArthur did reasonably well on those books and on that ability to be able to make money to serve the church in that form. But I will say, first of all, I don't think his motivation was to make money. And then the second thing is, that's not the same as enriching yourself on the church. You know, he made money by writing books separate from the church. And here's one of the things that a lot of people didn't know pretty commonly is John MacArthur stopped making money off of his church when he did financially well on his books. And so there actually was a movement away from, you know, using the ministry as a means for funding when he was able to independently make money. Another example of that is James Dobson, who passed away here recently as well. He was the founder of a Christian organization called Focus on the Family. And he actually, many people don't know this, but he actually didn't make a salary from Focus on the Family. He did so well at selling his books that he actually was able to independently fund his own life and ministry apart from the money raised by the ministry itself. And so here's examples. I think these are good examples of men who recognized that they had a ministry call, they had a gospel charge, and pursued that, and even didn't burden the ministry or the church that they were called by the Lord to do. So you see the difference there. Not that it's bad necessarily to make money per se. I mean, the Bible doesn't say that making money is a bad thing. The Bible says the love of money is a bad thing. And certainly, if you're greedy, that's a sinful thing, according to the truth of God's word. So that isn't the purpose there. But it's not necessarily bad to make money, to profit in providing, you know, a good resource or service to other people. But neither man, as it related to ministry, burdened the ministry itself to serve them. So that's the heart. They didn't go into it to make money. They didn't go into it to enrich themselves. So with all that said, then, is it sinful or is it bad or is it wrong to pay a pastor? And the biblical answer to that is no. So it's a bad thing. It's a sinful thing to have a man who's just looking for money, you know, one who views ministry as a means of making lots of money. That's totally different than the man who's willing to devote themselves, their time, their service for the purpose of gospel ministry. And as a result, you know, they still need to eat, they still need to pay rent, they still need to be able to provide for their family, for their wife, for their kids. And that is not a wrong thing or an unbiblical thing for the church to do. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, he says, an elder who rules well are to be considered worthy of a double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. And so Paul's making the point that if somebody is committing themselves to the gospel ministry for the glory of God, for the good of the church, then it's perfectly fine to pay that person if that's their full-time endeavor, if that's their full-time focus. And then Paul repeats that same thinking, you know, go back to 1 Corinthians 9, you know, where we looked at verse 15 before. But if you look at the top, you know, he says, beginning of verse 1, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this: do we have the right to eat and drink? Do we not have the right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of our Lord and Cephas? Or do only the Barnabas and I not have the right to refrain from working? Who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat from its fruit? Or who tends the flock and does not use the milk of the flock? I am not speaking these things according to human judgment, am I? Or does not the law also say these things? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the ox while he threshes. God is not concerned about the ox, is he? Or is he speaking altogether for our sake? Yes, for our sake it is written, because the plow ought to plow in hope and the thresher to thresh in hope or of sharing in the crop. If we sow spiritual things in you, is it too much if we reap material from you? If others share the right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we did not use this right, but we endure all things so that we will cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who perform the sacred services eat the food of the temple, and those who attend regular at the altar have their share from the altar? So also the Lord directs those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. And so Paul's whole argument here is to say, hey, look, this is not to say that Paul set out, or Barnabas set out, or the apostles set out, or Peter, or the brothers of Jesus, or James, or any of these guys. None of them set out for the purpose of enriching themselves or for the purpose of making money. None of them had that as their focus. Yet they all have engaged in gospel ministry. And as a result, it's not a bad thing to be able to offer them some money, some means of taking care of themselves, some means of supporting their wives and their families and all of those things. And I think this is especially true, you know, in the context of a church that wants to have a full-time pastor. And part of the idea behind having a full-time pastor is that that person can devote themselves exclusively and to be available exclusively for the ministry of the church. That is to say, every time there's a need, that is any time that there's a challenge or an issue or something, you can go to the pastor because he's a full-time pastor. He's always there. He's always able to meet with you and engage you and focus those things, or even work on the tasks of ministry and church life that maybe other people don't want to volunteer to do, because that's part of it as well. You know, a lot of times when you're a full-time pastor, You're engaging in areas of ministry or aspects of ministry that other people don't want to do, like administrative tasks, for example. Especially when you're talking about, you know, smaller churches that can't afford to have a bunch of staff, the pastor very often will be the church's administrator as well. And they serve in all these different roles. In some cases, it's a small church with only one pastor altogether, and they want that pastor to serve, you know, the youth ministry and the adult ministry and the preaching ministry and the counseling ministry and the visitation ministry and any and all other ministries in the life of the body, in the life of the church. And as a result, if you want that, then you have to pay somebody to do that, because nobody who has another job is able to do all of those things. You know, when you find a bivocational pastor or a co-vocational pastor or a part-time ministry pastor, they're always going to be engaged in other lines of work, and they can't always be available 100% of the time, at least not in the way that the church is used to them being available. And so when you want that, or if you want that, then you also got to pay for that. You know, pay somebody so that they don't have to work another job, that they're still able to take care of their family and their own children and wife and all those things that the Lord has given them. Because keep in mind, if you are married, if you have kids, that is always your primary ministry. That's what the Lord has declared to be the case, and you can't neglect that in the service of the church by having a full-time job and then doing full-time ministry and then having no time to love and serve and care and spiritually lead your wife and kids. So in that case, to answer the question, a pastor should not go into ministry for the purpose of making money. But at the same time, a pastor can be paid by the church to be focused in the ministry that God has called them to do. So hopefully that helps answer that question, to understand that there is a difference between somebody who seeks to enrich themselves on the Church of Christ and someone who has been called by the Lord to gospel ministry and has been asked by the church to present their time in the service and spiritual care of the body of Christ in that faith community. Those are two wildly different things. The first, yes, we would say they're false teachers, they're false apostles, they're false prophets, they're false elders, they're false pastors, they're false all of those things. Those that are just trying to enrich themselves on the ministry of Christ. But it is not wrong, and it is not unbiblical, it is not ungodly for a pastor who is committed to full-time ministry or even part-time ministry to be compensated by the church for that time, so that they can still have the time in their own private life to be able to love and serve and spiritually lead well their wife and their kids as God intends. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.